Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 108, The Great Facebook Purge, Why You Should Never Double Down on Failure.
Mixing business with politics. This is The Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad, in the place to be? Thank you for taking a half hour out of your day to hang with me. My name is Nathan Fraser. I am the High Priest of Propaganda. And you, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad. And today, we're going to be a little bit all over the place. I've got an episode of the podcast lined up. I've got a couple of show notes that I'm going to be reading from, but it's going to be a little bit scattered. But there is a business lesson here, so make sure that you hold out to the end. And I promise to deliver some sort of business lesson, some sort of political lesson, and we'll see how this all turns out. Like I said, a little bit all over the place today. So, first of all, I want to start with a personal story about doubling down on failure. So, I used to date this girl, and I'm going to be completely honest. I have a tendency to be pretty selfish in relationships. And this particular girl, I did not appreciate her the way that I should. And she wanted something more serious than I was willing to give her. And I refused to give it. And eventually she got sick of my shit and she cut it off. She broke ties with me and ended up kicking me out of the house. And it was a very messy end to a relationship. Now, here's the deal. Once I realized that I was going to lose her, I got pissed. And we got into a couple of really big screaming and yelling matches, and not the easiest thing for me to admit, but I acted like a very immature child quite a lot towards the end of that relationship. And she wanted me to move out. I had to find a new place. And while I was looking for a new place, we got into a couple of more screaming and yelling matches. And all I wanted the whole time that this whole end of the relationship was going on, I wanted her to change her mind. I wanted another chance. I wanted her to realize that I could be the guy that she wanted me to be. But it already failed. And my natural response was anger. My natural response was to double down on the failure. And it just drove her away even further. Now, if you're listening to this right now, you've probably been in a similar situation. You've probably been in a situation where you failed at something, and rather than correct course, you just doubled down on the behavior that led to the failure in the first place. It's something that all of us do. That's my personal story, and it's actually happened more than one time because I'm a pretty selfish guy in relationships in general, so I have a tendency to repeat this behavior. I don't know why. I'm trying to work on it. I'm not super great at it. Travel back in time a little bit. 2 years ago, during the 2016 elections. Now, I didn't really have a dog in the fight during the 2016 elections. I didn't like Trump. I didn't like Hillary Clinton. I didn't really care who won. I'm pretty apolitical anyways. I don't really give a shit about politics other than the fact that it's all compulsory and there's no voluntary nature to it. If it wasn't that way, I wouldn't even pay attention to politics at all. But here's kind of where I lay. With the exception of like gun laws and the welfare trap, I pretty much have always leaned to the left. But like I said, I didn't like Hillary Clinton. I thought she was a total shiesty criminal type person. And I didn't really like Trump either. And I don't vote in general, and I didn't vote in that election. But when Hillary lost, instead of gracefully bowing out like typically politicians do, she went the opposite way. And a lot of her supporters went the opposite way. Instead of saying, oh, well, we lost the election, they doubled down on failure. And so they started smashing windows and setting shit on fire. They started protesting conservative speakers at college campuses and rioting and breaking windows and just acting crazy. They started blocking traffic in the middle of the road. They started blaming Russian bots for everything. They just totally, they didn't realize that this is why they lost. This type of behavior is why people didn't connect with Hillary Clinton. And this is why they lost in the first place. And instead of correcting their behavior, a lot of her supporters, a lot of her fan base just doubled down on the very reasons why they lost in the first place. Over the last 2 years, it's gotten even worse. It's become this like giant witch hunt for dog whistling secret Nazis. Everybody's a fascist. Everybody's a secret Russian. Everybody's a troll. And now a lot of people in the Democratic Party are openly embracing socialism. Whatever her name is, Cortez, Jim Carrey, a lot of people that are like left-leaning individuals are coming out and embracing and saying we should accept socialism, which is even pushing them further away from mainstream America. Now, I cannot stand, like I said, for the majority of my life, I've pretty much considered myself very left-leaning, especially in social issues. I can't stand what the left has become since Trump won the election. They've doubled down on failure. CNN ratings are plummeting. Walk away movement has taken the party by storm. And rather than course correct, it looks like the Democratic Party is just going to, and the mouthpieces in mainstream media for the Democratic Party, it looks like they're just going to keep doubling down on failure. I don't get it, but since I've done it myself, I do kind of get it. I'm going to jump topics again to another topic, Comicsgate, something that's going on right now in the comic book community. I'm a huge comic book nerd. I've read and loved comic books pretty much my entire life, with the exception of the last couple of years. Comic books have gone straight to shit over the last couple of years. Comicsgate is kind of like the Gamergate of comic books. Marvel and DC, a couple of years back, decided to start hiring people based off of their surface-level traits rather than based off of merit. So they started hiring people because they wanted to check off diversity points on a checklist. So they said, hey, if we're going to have a Black Panther comic book, we need to have a Black character write it. If we're going to have a comic book about a lesbian, we're going to have a lesbian write it. And so instead of saying, let's just get the best writers and the best artists to draw, they said, let's hire people that look or people who have the same lifestyle as the characters, and they'll be able to do better jobs of creating these characters. And it's totally backfired on them. Fans have been pushing back. Fans have been saying, hey, we don't have a problem with diverse characters. We just want people who actually care about the characters in charge of writing them. We just want people who actually care about the industry in charge of producing our comic books. And we don't want to be called bigots, and we don't want to be called Nazis just because we want quality in our comic books. Fans have pushed back, and instead of admitting that they've been fucking up, the companies like DC and Image Comics and Marvel Comics, instead of admitting, hey, we screwed up, we thought that this would work, it didn't work, we're going to go back to hiring people who actually care about the comic book industry, instead of admitting that they messed up, comic book pros have doubled down. And they've taken to social media, and they start calling, they start calling comic book fans bigots and Nazis and fascists. And as a result, comic book shops across the country are closing down in record numbers. In 2017, 50 comic book stores closed without being replaced by other comic book shops. And there's not very many comic book shops in the country left nowadays. Sales right now are lower in the comic book industry than they've ever been. The biggest crash that we ever saw before this of comic books was in the 90s. In the 90s, there was a big crash in the comic book industry. Right now, sales are lower than they were in the crash. And it's crazy because comic book popularity, because of the Marvel and DC movies doing so well, and the DC TV shows doing so well, and the Netflix TV shows doing so well, comic book popularity is at an all-time high, but comic book sales are at an all-time low because the people running the comic book industry, the actual comic books, are not in tune with the fans. And instead of listening to the fans, they're saying when the fans complain, they say it's fansplaining. And so they ridicule the fans, they attack the fans, and they're doubling down on failure. Instead of listening to the fans, they're doubling down on what the fans don't like. And this whole thing isn't limited to comic books either. Battlefield 5 right now is about to come out. It's about to release with an all-time low in pre-order sales for the series because they did something that the fans didn't like. The fans complained about it, and they started attacking the fans. They said, well, if you don't like our diversion from what we've been giving you in the past, you're a bigot, you're a hateful misogynist, sexist pig, and we don't want you to buy our game anyway. So nobody's buying it, and nobody's pre-ordering it. And instead of listening to the consumers, they've doubled down on the bad decision, and they're paying for it. Now, recently, this is what all of this has led to. Recently, Facebook has done a purge. Over the last week, Facebook purged, I think, over 800 pages from their website. Most of them were libertarian. Some of them were conservative. Some of them were even left-leaning pages. The funny thing about this is, and I've seen, I follow some conservative stuff. I follow some libertarian stuff. I follow some left-leaning stuff because I think that all of them have a little bit of quality to their arguments. I think that all of them have a little bit of quality to their ideals. And I try to eat the meat and spit out the fat from all these different ideologies. A lot of leftist pages were removed during this Facebook purge. And a lot of these people that are complaining that their leftist pages were removed were the same people cheering a few weeks back when Alex Jones got removed. So it goes to show, if you don't stick up for the rights of the people that you don't agree with, there's not going to be anybody there to stick up for your rights when your rights are attacked. And not that I think that having a Facebook page is a human right or anything. It's just an example of not sticking up for people you disagree with and then having the same thing happen to you. Now, the reason Facebook said that they purged all of these pages, like I said, 800 pages, I think, were removed. The reason why Facebook said that they were removing them is because they were pushing political agendas and misleading news for profit. Now, some of the pages that got removed, I could absolutely say, yeah. Even the ones that I like, I could say, yeah, they were definitely, they were sensational headlines intended to drive people back to their website, intended to get people to look at their ads and click on their ads. And, you know, that's kind of what we do. That's what content marketing is all about. And so, yeah, I will say some people were guilty of that. And I say guilty in quotes because I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. But not all of them were. I would say that maybe a third of the sites that I saw that got taken down were guilty of doing this. The majority of the sites that I saw that got taken down, it was just people posting stuff that Facebook, in my opinion, just doesn't want people thinking about, posting ideas that people that they just don't want people thinking about because they're too outside of the box. Now, the funny thing is they said, well, people were posting misleading news articles that were leading them back to their website so they could get that ad revenue. Funny thing is, CNN does this all the time. MSNBC does this all the time. Fox News does this all the time. MTV does this all the time. They're all guilty of highly biased takes on news. They're all guilty of completely erroneous covering of events. They're all guilty of misleading news that's used to drive people back to their website through hyperbolic headlines and used to drive up their ad revenue. CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and MTV, the mainstream media, they all do this on Facebook, just like these other companies or these other pages do. And they weren't affected by this Facebook purge, which makes you kind of wonder, what was it really all about? I'll get into my thoughts here in a second. Now, this whole Facebook purge came about a week after the leak of Google's internal document called the Good Censor. Now, if you haven't heard about the Good Censor was a document that was leaked out to, I want to say, Breitbart. And people are like, well, Breitbart's not credible. Well, after it was leaked, Google came out and admitted, yes, this is an actual document. So it's not Breitbart saying this. This is Google saying, yeah, we actually wrote this. This is our internal document. And it was talking about how social media needs to move away from free speech and it needs to control what people are talking about on their social media networks. It's talking about how they need to take a more active stance in directing the conversation. Now, Google has already been caught altering search results. Google has already been caught with this document. Facebook has been caught doing experiments where last year, I think it was, or the year before that, they got caught doing experiments where they would take certain people and they would only show them particular types of posts in their newsfeed just to see how it would affect their mood. And they saw that after a day or two of only showing them negative Facebook posts, then people would start having more negativity in their own Facebook posts. They did an experiment, the same experiment, where they would take certain people and single them out and only show them positive Facebook posts from their friends, and they saw an increase in positivity. So Facebook and Google and all of these companies that are these like major tech industry companies, they've already been caught and admitted to manipulating people through the type of stuff that they filter through to the people's news feeds. So Google, in this document, said, hey, we just need to do this more consciously. We need to take a more active role in manipulating what people see on our networks, what people are allowed to share on our networks. We need to move away from free speech, and we need to move more towards censorship. And I'm going to get into why I think that's scary to me in a second, but I'm going to first play devil's advocate. I'm going to defend them. I can see why, as a company, you would want to cultivate a certain type of atmosphere on your platform to keep people there. If you want to keep people hooked on your platform, you want to do the things and you want to make sure the things that are on your platform are the things that keep people hooked. So I can totally understand why Facebook would say, let's push this type of content and let's pull back on this type of content, or let's have the algorithm filter out this type of content, because this type of content drives people away from our platform. This type of content pulls people into our platform. I can understand why they would take that position. But the fact of the matter is, the reason why social media, the reason why YouTube, the reason why Facebook, the reason why just in general social media has taken off is because people have gotten sick of the censorship of mainstream media. The reason why mainstream media is dying right now is because it's too censored, because you get two different points of view and that's all you get. And people have gotten sick of that. The reason why Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all of these other social media platforms have taken off is because now we have a wide world of ideas to explore. Now we have a wide world of opinions to listen to. Now we have the ability to hear things that we'll never get to hear on mainstream media, to see points of view that we'll never get to see on mainstream media. That's why these social media companies have taken off. Now, what Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are doing now is doubling down on why they've been failing over the last couple of years. Instead of embracing free speech, which is what led them to prosperity in the first place, now they're limiting free speech and people are looking for alternatives. People are going to Minds. People are going to Gab. People are going to Steemit. People are going to BitChute. People are leaving YouTube. People are leaving Facebook. And as people leave, Facebook, Google, all of these companies, YouTube, are doubling down on the behavior that's driving people away from their platform. Why can't they see what they're doing? Google just closed down Google Plus. Facebook stock is plummeting. Facebook stock is like at a year low right now, following the announcement of all these pages getting, and I don't know if that's the only reason why, but still, if you go and look at Facebook year to date, Facebook is at a year low right now. YouTube is still operating at a loss. And instead of embracing what made these companies successful, they're doubling down on what made them fail. And they're watching that behavior. They're doubling down on that behavior and they're watching it have the same effect, but they don't seem to stop. Now, why do I find such a problem with this? Again, I'm a free market capitalist. I believe, hey, it's your company. Run it however you want. Do whatever you want. Nobody deserves a platform on your company. My problem with it is it's a reflection of our societal values as a whole. I love the fact that our society values free speech. I love the fact that our society, at least as what we say, we value everybody has the right to say what they want to say. Everybody has the right to their own opinion. Watching these social media platforms say, well, our values don't line up with traditional Western values when it comes to free speech is scary to me. To me, it's saying, okay, the people that are leading the conversation are saying they don't have the same values about conversation that the people who are engaged in the conversation has. And since they're in charge of leading the conversation, where are they going to lead it? That kind of is scary to me. The fact that a lot of these people that work in Silicon Valley are openly saying we don't embrace the Western traditional value of free speech, and we're not going to use it as part of our company culture. That is a little bit. It's kind of like a red flag to me as where we might be heading as a society. Again, I don't know, because all in all, people are leaving Facebook as they're seeing people do this. People are leaving Google. People are leaving YouTube as they see these companies do this. So I don't know. Here's the point, though. Why do we do this? Why, as human beings, do we double down on failure? When we do something, it has a negative result. Why do we double down on the behavior that brought us that negative result in the first place? Mainly, I think it's because of our ego. I think it's because we don't want to admit when we're wrong, even if we know that we're wrong. When we do something wrong, when we get a bad result for it, in order to change that, it requires us admitting, hey, I did something wrong. And nobody likes to do that. Nobody likes to admit they're wrong. When our supporters tell us that we're wrong, we feel attacked. So if we put out a comic book because we think that we're going to score some virtue signaling points, and our audience says, hey, we just want good comic books, we don't want to be preached at, we feel attacked. We feel like, hey, the people that support us, the people that are our customers, told us that they didn't like this. Rather than listening to it and embracing it as market feedback, we say, oh yeah, well, they're just Nazis. So it's just part of human nature. Some people can't admit that they're wrong because they think it'll make them look weak, especially people in leadership positions. If you're a leader and you make a mistake, it's hard to admit that you made a mistake, because then it makes you look weak. It makes you look flawed to all the people following you. And then in the back of your mind, you're saying, well, if I admit that I was wrong, all of these people who follow me are going to question whether they should continue following me. So a lot of gurus, a lot of leaders, a lot of mouthpieces will never admit that they're wrong, because they're afraid that if their flock realizes that once in a while they've been led astray, they'll stop being the flock. They'll stop following the shepherd. So we're afraid that it makes us look weak. But as a result, by not being able to admit that we were wrong, by not being able to take that market feedback and use it to adjust in a positive direction, we end up losing our biggest supporters. Yeah, we may keep the mindless sheep, but we'll lose the most powerful, the most influential supporters amongst our flock. So the point of the matter is, the people that are going to attack you for correcting your bad behavior, if you try something and it doesn't work, the people that are going to attack you for listening to your market, the people that are going to attack you for correcting your bad behavior, those people were never really your fans in the first place. Those people were never really your supporters in the first place. You never want to cater to the haters. But the people that are actually fans, the people that are actually supporters, the people that are actually customers, when those people tell you, hey, you've been doing something wrong, we don't agree with this, we don't like the direction that you're going, whether you're Facebook, whether you're Marvel Comics, whether you're somebody in a relationship with somebody who actually cares about you, and they're telling you, hey, I don't like this direction that you've been going in. If somebody's actually there for you, if somebody's actually a supporter of you, if somebody's actually a customer of you, listen to what they say and be willing to admit when you're wrong, and be willing to course correct, be willing to take that advice and affect it in your future actions. Don't double down on the failure. When the people who love you and come to you with their concerns, listen to them. Don't double down on your failure. Okay, that is my lesson for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. You can find the podcast on your favorite podcast player. Nathan Fraser Show is what to look for. I'm Nathan Fraser. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. I'm out of here. Deuces. Okay, and after listening to this, you might think I'm a complete and utter hypocrite because I still have a Facebook account. Let me explain. I make a lot of money off of Facebook. A lot of my sales come off of Facebook. I know how to work the Facebook algorithm. So it's really hard for me to leave. If it keeps going the way that it's going, I mean, I do have a Minds.com account that I just started, and I still fall back on my email and my podcast to use as lead generation. But the fact of the matter is I make a lot of money off of Facebook, so it's really hard for me to completely abandon the platform altogether. Anyways, that being said, I'm going to add this little bonus content to the end, talking about why most people don't make any money off of Facebook, why most people don't get any traction. And I guess this actually applies to activists too. If you're a business owner trying to get traction off of Facebook and you're not getting any traction off of your posts, or if you're an activist and you're trying to bring attention to your cause and you're not getting any attention to your cause off of your posts either, both of those will apply here. And yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and play this. This is from a Facebook Live video that I recorded a couple of days ago. And it's funny because I talked about how to make your, how to make your posts go viral. And then the very next day I had, I posted something that ended up getting like over 10,000 shares. So the proof is in the pudding. Anyways, here's a real quick, audio from one of my Facebook Live videos on how to make sure your Facebook posts go viral, even in the age of censorship. Because if you follow me on Facebook, you know that I'm definitely not the most PC person on Facebook, but I still have tons of posts and videos and even sales letters that get multiple, sometimes triple, quadruple, double digit shares. So how do I do it? Well, I'm about to explain it right now. Yo! What up, Facebook? It's your boy Nathan Frazier. I'm gonna do a real quick video on why nobody gives a shit about your Facebook posts. And this is something I see that plagues everybody pretty much, but especially small business owners that are trying to get eyeballs on their content through social media. And I'm gonna go through some of the biggest things that I see people do wrong. And I have the right to speak on this because I make a lot of sales from Facebook. And a lot of my content goes viral. I have posts that get multiple thousands of shares. I have blatant promotional posts that get tens, hundreds of shares sometimes. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. And a lot of people have no idea what they're talking about and have no idea why they're not getting the engagement that they want to get. First of all, throughout the video, I'm going to try and stay focused on the road so I don't crash and die in the middle of a Facebook Live. So I won't be making very much eye contact with you. Deal with it. What I'm gonna drop is gonna be some very valuable knowledge. Second of all, give me a shout out, let me know that you're there, and I'll go back and answer any questions that you might have after the video is done. So first of all, in order to get engagement, first of all, you have to understand how the Facebook algorithm works. The Facebook algorithm works like this. It sends out your post to a select group of people that it thinks will engage with it. If those people don't engage with it, doesn't show it to anybody else. And so a Facebook post can die right away. If you post something and it sends it out to 10 of your friends and not a single one of them engage with it, then it's probably not, Facebook knows, hey, this is not a very valuable post. Let's not bother anybody else. Let's not waste anybody else's time by showing it to them. And your Facebook post dies on the vine right there. So the way that it gets shown to more people is based off of which type of engagement you get off of it. Now, Facebook has like a tiered hierarchy of how they value the engagement. The lowest value of engagement that you can get is a react. If somebody likes or puts an angry face or a heart or something like that, that's the lowest level engagement. So if you put something out and Facebook shows it to 10 people and you get 2 likes, Facebook says, okay, let's show it to 2 more people and see what happens. These aren't exact numbers, but this is just a rough guesstimation. I don't know what words I'm looking for. So that's the lowest. Now, the next order of importance as far as engagement goes is comments. If you put a post out and people comment on it, comments are much more valuable to Facebook than likes, than reacts are, because a react is really easy to give. A comment actually takes some time. So if a post gets comments, Facebook says, oh, somebody actually, this post had enough impact that they didn't just like it, they actually went through and commented on it. So let's, instead of just showing it to two more people, let's show it to four more people and see if other people comment on it as well. This is why for getting fake or garbage engagement, asking stupid questions like, do you like vanilla ice cream, or I'm bored, what should I watch on Netflix? That's why those type of posts tend to get a lot of engagement. It's garbage engagement. It's not the type of engagement that as a marketer you should be looking for, but it is engagement, even if it's garbage engagement. The reason why is because people say, oh, you got to check out the new Punisher series, or you got to check out the new Handmaid's Tale series, or whatever the case may be. Somebody comments, that tells Facebook, well, let's show it to other people who are also prone to comment on people's posts. Those people comment on it and it gets more and more exposure. Now, like I said, the reason why I'm not a fan of those is because it's garbage engagement. If you're trying to sell something, you want the right type of engagement. You don't want to be the people that have the iPod giveaway as your opt-in, where you're just getting everybody opting in, because you want to get engagement from people that actually matter to your market. So I'm not a big fan of stupid, bland questions to get engagement, but there's a lot of gurus out there that preach that. I preach against that, just my personal opinion. Okay, so lowest form of engagement is likes, and second form of engagement up on the hierarchy is comments. Next after that is shares, and somebody actually just shared this video right now. Thank you, Mindy, I appreciate that. Shares are the next form of engagement. Shares are where it's at. Every share that you get puts your shit out there to a lot more people. So if you can get people to share your content, it's gonna get seen not just by your friends, by other friends. And I know this because a lot of my viral stuff, as soon as it starts getting shared by people outside of my friends' network, that's when it goes viral. I'll get 10, 15 shares, and then one of their friends will share that. And then that's once one of their friends shares it, then it starts going viral. Then within an hour, I'll have 1,000 shares. I'll have 5,000 shares. I'll have 15,000 shares. Those always come from as soon as it breaks past your circle of friends. Once it breaks out of your friends in the sharing, that's when your shit goes viral. So how do you engineer your posts to do this? How do you engineer the stuff that you, obviously, if you're marketing, if you've got an idea to sell people on, if you've got a product or service to sell people on, obviously you need that attention. Without those eyeballs, nobody knows what your message is. But most people try and get their message out there and they set themselves up for failure. They don't get that attention. So how do you engineer your statuses, your status updates, your social media? How do you engineer that shit to get that engagement? Well, here's the biggest thing people do wrong is they're self-centered. All of their posts are about themselves. All of their posts are about their product, about their service. Nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody gives a fuck about what you sell. All they care about is themselves. So if all you're posting about is yourself and what you sell, even if it's exactly what they need, they don't give a shit. They're not going to engage with it. So the first thing is, when you post something, stop and ask yourself, is this something that's only relevant to me? Is this something that only I understand? Is this something that even if it can help the people out there, they're not going to understand it because they don't have the context? I see this all the time, people posting shit where they're the only one commenting on it and they have 10 comments on it and nobody else is engaging with it because it's not speaking to anybody but them. They're using their social media as a soapbox to scream out to the world how self-centered they are. Hey, this is what's going on in my mind. This is what I'm dealing with today. Blah, blah, blah. You don't care. I'm going to try and make you care. I'm just going to scream out at the top of my lungs what's going on in my world because this is all I know how to do. And that's what 90% of people do on Facebook, on Twitter, on whatever, is they just scream about their own shit, what's going on in their world. And if you do this, if you stop and you go through your Facebook feed, look at the ones that show up in your feed that don't have any engagement at all, and I'll guarantee you 9 times out of 10, the reason it's not getting any engagement is because the person is talking about something something that nobody else understands. It's unrelatable to everybody in their audience, and it's completely self-absorbed, self-centered, and they're only talking about themselves. Watch your Facebook posts. Watch the ones that get a bunch of engagement, and then compare them to the ones that don't get any engagement, and tell me if I'm lying. I guarantee you, you're going to realize that almost 100% of the ones that don't get any engagement as you're scrolling through your feed, it's because when you look at it, you're like, I have no idea what this person's talking about. They're talking about something that's only important to them. They're talking about something that I don't have the context to understand it, and it's not important to anybody other than them. Now, so before you post something, you need to know, who are my audience? Who are the people that are following me on Facebook? Who is my market? Who are the people that buy whatever it is that I sell? You need to understand that. And then you need to know what's important to them. What are the conversations that they're having? And then when you go to post something on Facebook, ask yourself, is there enough context here? When I post this, are other people going to understand what I'm talking about? Is it going to connect with them? Or are they going to look at this and roll their eyes and say, what the fuck is this guy going on about again? I have no idea what the hell he's talking about, because it sounds like the rantings of a crazy person, because he's not giving me any context, or she's not giving me any context, or she's ranting about something that only matters to her and the rest of us don't give two shits about this. Why is she going on about this again? Those are the posts that don't get any engagement. So, before you post something, ask yourself, is this something that other people are going to be able to relate with? Will they understand it? Will they agree with it? When they see this, will they say, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense? Will it get a chuckle out of them? Is there enough to get some sort of reaction out of them? If the answer is yes, then that's a post that will probably get a lot of likes, that'll probably get a lot of reacts. Will it make them angry? Will it evoke some sort of emotional response from them? Will it make them laugh? Will it make them happy? Is there enough going on here? Is there enough context? Am I not vague booking? Am I being open enough to where people will actually understand what I'm, am I communicating clearly enough that my audience will actually understand? Do they have all the pieces of the puzzle to where it'll actually make sense, and it won't be one of those weird memes that only 5% of the people on 4chan will understand? So, number one, before you post, ask yourself, is there enough context? Will this make sense to the people reading it, and will it evoke some sort of emotional response from them? If the answer is yes, that's a post that will get a lot of engagement. It'll get a lot of likes. It'll get a lot of angry faces. It'll get a lot of laughing. It'll get a lot of hearts. Now, that's how you get first level engagement. Like I said, those are only the first level engagements. If you really want it, if you really want your post to go viral, you need to make sure that it goes beyond just getting an emotional response. This is what you have to do to get that. Number one, like I said, stop posting for yourself. Stop posting, stop using your Facebook as your own personal fucking soapbox. Nobody gives a fuck about what's going on in your life. Nobody gives a fuck about what you sell. Get that through your fucking head right now. Sorry for cussing so much, it's what I do. If you want to get that second tier of engagement, if you want to get people actually commenting on your shit, give people the opportunity to sound off in your posts. Leave it open-ended. Share an experience and leave it open-ended to where people can add their two cents to it. Leave it to where they feel compelled to say, oh man, that really hit home with me. I just went through something similar. Let me tell you about my story. Leave it to where, and then engage with people. When people do that, go back and like their comments. Go back and comment on them. When you comment on a comment, that pushes your post back into other people's news feeds again. So when people do comment on your shit, make sure that you engage or engineer your posts to be relatable, so that when they read it, they can say, oh man, that hit home. I went through something very similar, and now I want to tell you about it. Because again, people are selfish, and if you can avoid being selfish, if you can consciously work with the fact that people are selfish and be above it, then other people will fall victim to their natural instincts, and they'll want to comment on your post. So make your shit to where it's relatable, to your audience. Know your audience. Know what their values are. Know who their villains are. Know what their struggles are. Know what the things that they stand for are. Know what the things that they stand against are. And when you post something, say, does this post conform to that knowledge that I have of my audience? Does this post speak to the things that I know my audience is saying in their own mind? Does this post speak to their values? Does this post speak to the things that they hate in the world? Does this post speak to the things that they love in the world? Does this post speak to the things that they're struggling with in the world? If the answer is yes, that is a post that will most likely get a lot of comments. And if you go in and you engage with those comments, it'll start getting more comments. It'll start getting shared to more people in your mutual friends list. So that's one way. Make sure that before you post something, ask yourself, is this something that's going to speak? When my audience reads this, is it going to be something that they say, oh my God, I can relate with that. Oh my God, I know exactly what they're saying. I know exactly how that feels. Ask yourself before you post it, stop and ask yourself before you hit post, will this evoke that reaction in my audience? Will they say, I can relate with that? If so, that's a post that's going to get a lot of engagement. It's going to get a lot of likes. It's going to get a lot of comments. It's going to get a lot of hearts. It's going to get a lot of angry faces. But the comments, go in, and when somebody comments, go in and engage with those comments. That'll push you into more people's feeds. You'll get more comments. Your shit will go viral. Now, how do you get your shit shared? So, first of all, we're going to roll it back a little bit. Number one, when you're on Facebook, don't use it as your fucking soapbox. Don't use it as me, 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 me. My life, my life, my life. What's going on in my head with no context? Don't use Facebook that way. Nobody gives a fuck about what you're going through. Nobody gives a fuck about what your fucking thoughts are. Nobody gives a shit about you. Get that through your fucking head. Before you start posting shit, don't use Facebook as your soapbox. I feel like I'm using Facebook as my soapbox right now. Okay, so get that out of your head first of all. Facebook is not about you. Facebook posts about you don't get engagement. Facebook posts that people can relate with get engagement. Facebook posts that speak to your audience get comments, get likes, get shares. How do you get your shit shared now? You have to know who your audience is, and then you have to know who their audience is. So when you're posting shit, don't just post for yourself. Don't just post for your audience. Post for your audience's audience. Know who is my audience and what do they want to share? What do they want to tell the world about themselves? Who are they trying to impress? And what kind of messages are they willing to share to impress their audience? Don't speak for yourself, which is what 99% of people on Facebook are obsessed with doing. All they fucking do all day long is talk about themselves. Don't do that shit. Speak for your audience. That's how you get likes. That's how you get comments. That's how you get engagement. Speak for your audience. Know who your audience is, know who their audience is, and know how to speak for them so that when people see your posts, they not only like it, they not only comment on it, they tell themselves, they think to themselves, this is how I feel, and I want to share this with people. I want my followers knowing this is how I feel. That's how you get shit shared. And once you can speak to, not just for yourself, but you can speak for your audience, and then you can speak to your audience's audience, that's when your shit gets shared. And once your audience's audience connects with your messages, once your audience's audience connects with the things that you're sharing or that you're posting, they'll share it. And once they start sharing it, that's when Facebook starts showing it to everybody. If you can get your audience to share it with their audience by knowing what your audience is and knowing what they want to say to their audience, and if you can say it better than they can say it, they will share your shit. Once they start sharing your shit with their audience and then their audience starts sharing it, that's when your shit goes viral. That's when people start sharing your shit. That's when a post gets 5,000 shares in 3 hours, and I have this happen all the time to my posts. That's when you start making sales off of Facebook. That's when you start making an impact. Don't use your Facebook page profile as a way to speak for yourself. Nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody gives a fuck about the shit you're going through. Nobody gives a fuck about the shit that you're selling. Don't use Facebook to speak for yourself. Use Facebook to speak for your audience. And if you're smart, use Facebook to speak to your audience's audience. Once you start speaking to your Facebook audience's audience, that's when your shit goes viral. All right, my name's Nathan Frazier. I hope you got value out of this. I get pissed that so many people with brilliant ideas that could change the world are so fucking stupid at social media that they can't figure this out. I get pissed that so many of my clients that have brilliant products and services that can change the fucking world are so fucking stupid that they can't get past this one fucking thing. Stop talking about yourself. Stop talking about your product. Stop talking about your service. Stop using Facebook as a platform to go me, 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 me all the fucking time. Start speaking for your audience. Start speaking for your audience's audience, and then you'll start getting the results that you want. All right. My name is Nathan Frazier. Again, if you got value out of this, share this video with somebody. If you know somebody who's suffering from this, if you know somebody who's got a great message but just can't seem to break through the noise, share this message with them. Tag them in the comments below. If you know somebody who has a great product or service but can't seem to get any fucking leverage or any momentum on social media, it's probably because they're doing the dumb shit that I was talking about in this video. They need to see this video. Make sure you share it with them. Tag them in the comments below. If you think that I cuss too much, I don't give two fucks. Two fucks. My name is Nathan Frazier. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. I make a lot of money online, so I don't really care if I offended you. I just be me, and that's the way it is. If you enjoyed this, though, check out my podcast, NathanFrazierShow.com. Like, subscribe, and make sure that you friend me on Facebook, and I can help you get more sales. I can help you get your message out there, and maybe, if you're the right fit, we can work together. I'm Nathan Frazier, High Priest of Propaganda. I'm out of here. Deuces.